Good things.
Amen. The message the Lord put on my heart tonight is a great shaking. Father, as we get into your word and read your word tonight, I pray that it will just leap in our hearts, leap in our spirits, that it'll come alive to us and within us. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us tonight, that it quicken your word inside of us. Isaiah 2, 17 through 19 says, "The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low." James 4, 6 tells us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, on with the scripture. "The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth from the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily." God's going to shake the earth. Hallelujah. And there was a shaking back in Exodus when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Exodus 19, verse 18, it said, "All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended in it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently." That was an awesome sight of the glory of the Lord. Now we're going to Haggai 2, and we're going to read 6 through 9. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven." And heaven there is the supernatural sphere of darkness. And God's going to shake the sphere of darkness and earth, the sea, and dry land. "And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations," which is Jesus. "And I will fill this temple, says the Lord of hosts." So what's the result here of the shaking? The temple is filled with glory, and all nations come to the Lord. So that's a pretty good result of the shaking. Verse 8, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. So the natural wealth will come to his kingdom with the shaking." Verse 9, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Peace there means completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. So with God shaking comes glory, wealth, and peace. Hallelujah. Who wants God shaking? Me. I want it. Hallelujah. And during the shaking, there's going to be a great contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, the word says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." He's talking about his church, his people. I want the glory of the Lord to rise upon me. Hallelujah. Upon the church. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." So people that don't know the Lord will come to our light when we shine. And when the darker it is, the more the light shines. Hallelujah. So the light will shine bright upon us in the midst of the darkness. We're going to read quite a portion from Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be reading 18 through 29. It says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest." This is talking about when during Moses' time when the commandments were given. 19, "And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words set those, so that those who heard it begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.'" So when God came in the Old Testament, it really was a fearful time to the people, even to Moses. But number verse 22, it says, "But you, us, the church, have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom of God, and there's an innumerable company of angels around us. Whether we see them or not see them, they're there working with us and for us. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. Verse 23, "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." I'm registered. Now, are you registered to vote? Well, I'm registered in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. "To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape to refuse him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven.'" That means the supernatural sphere of darkness. "Now this, 'yet once more,' indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken," we're in the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. "Let us have grace." Grace is a steady flow of divine power by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. I want the fire of God in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 24:17. "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." But now in this time, our God is a consuming fire, and the shaking of God is a promise to us, not a threat. It's good news, not bad news. If you're in the kingdom of darkness, it can be bad news to you. But if you're in the kingdom of light on God's side, it's good news. It's a promise of God. Hallelujah. That will bring his glory, that will bring his wealth, that will bring his peace. Amen. John 10:10, we all know it, says, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Hallelujah. So we can tell the difference between what's from Satan and what's from God, because God comes to give life. Hallelujah. James 1:13-17. It says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." God never tempts us to sin. 14, "But each of us Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life. He wants us to trust in him. He wants to be the pilot of our life. He wants to be the one we listen to. An independent spirit that says, I just want to do it my own way and do it myself, will get us into trouble. Because when we're born again, we can't be independent and want our own way anymore. We need to want his way and make him Lord of our life. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Kingdom Authority. The Lord gave this to Calvin in 2009. And it said, the Lord is asking you to come under his authority. Only under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ can one be free. Under his authority, there is freedom and safety. Whom the Son sets free is free again, free indeed. Those who refuse to walk under the authority of the Almighty will find themselves under the controlling authorities of man. Man's authority is designed by God to control lawlessness. However, under God's authority, lawlessness does not exist. Therefore, one finds freedom and a safe place. Only by personal decision can one enter in and come under God's authority. He doesn't force his authority on anyone. Come to me, says the Lord, and be safe. So when we yield to the Lord and come under his authority, it's a safe place. It's a place of freedom. It's a place where everything's well. All is well when we're under his authority. Psalms 91:1 and then 9 through 11, we're going to read it, says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Most High here is, in the Greek, is El Elyon. In the Hebrew, I mean, it's El Elyon. And El Elyon, the nature of El Elyon is love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life. Hallelujah, that's who our God is. The Most High God is a God of love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life. Verse 9, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. In other words, you're living in love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And we know that there's an innumerable company of angels around us. They're well able to care for us, well able to watch over us and care for us as we live in the shadow of the Almighty. And to personalize it and expand it, I'm going to read it like this. Because I live in love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Hallelujah. God does correct and cleanse us, but it comes through his word and the conviction and fire of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, praise God when he corrects us. You know, we live in a dirty world. Sometimes we get off kilter and we need the correction of the Lord. And it comes from reading the word. We'll look at the word and say, uh-oh, Lord, forgive me. Or sometimes his Holy Spirit will just rise up within me. How many of you have ever said something and immediately knew it was your flesh and it was wrong? You know, how many? Every day? every day. But praise God for that inner witness that lets us know. And because so we can adjust it like that. So we can just say, okay, no more. I'm turning and going the other way. Hallelujah. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. So what we do will be tested by God's fire. And that's why King David in the Psalms, he said, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And so that should be a daily way of living. Search my heart, oh God. You know, we're in the Holy Spirit is here. He's in us. And we communicate with him. Hallelujah. And if we say, "God, just show me, search my heart, see what adjustments I need to make right now, today, in my attitude." You know, just getting in fear is a sin. Getting anxious and worried is a sin. You know, getting angry is a sin. And so it's just like these things just need to be caught, like right here, and just stop them. Hallelujah, when we ask God to search our hearts. And we know we all sin, but it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we do blow it. We do things wrong, but he is so faithful to be there to forgive us right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 11, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So we want God's correction because it is good for us and it really makes us happy. You know, it sets us straight. When we're rocking wrong, there's just an uncomfortableness in us. We're not happy. When we're living with sin of any kind, whether it's of the flesh or of the emotions or of the, you know, we can, you know, just a bad attitude, you know, is sin. And praise God that he corrects us, because when we repent, then it's just all straightened out and we're happy again. We're at peace again. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12, a lot of our correction comes from the word. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Hallelujah. So God, it's so important to be in God's word every day. You know, just keep it going, keep it playing, read it every day, sing songs that are scripture songs, you know, just have it rolling in you all the time, the word. Hallelujah. John 15:3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." So the word cleans us. It washes us. Isaiah 6:5-7. And this is Isaiah talking. And he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And he knew that because, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we're in the presence of God, we become aware of the words that we speak that aren't right. You know, we just become aware. And we all know we live in the midst of a people. This world is so full of negative words and talking about other people. And just, you know, we have unclean lips. And we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Hallelujah. And then number six, verse six, then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. And just the last few weeks, I have been aware of that. And I just like, God, take a coal off your altar and put it on my lips. Cleanse the way I talk. Cleanse me, Lord. I've been aware of it. About a week ago on a Sunday night, I read like God's calling his people to a fast of negative words. And he said, particularly toward our nation or about our nation, don't say anything. If you can't say anything good, just don't say anything at all. and that's because God's wanting to do some things, and death and life are in the power of our tongue. And if we're agreeing with the enemy and exalting him, it gives him more power. Hallelujah. Speak words of faith. Amen. In 2013, on a Sunday, I think it was on a Wednesday night, the Lord gave Mitch this prophecy that is so powerful. I just love it. Mitch said, as I was playing, I saw the Holy Spirit filling everyone that was in front of me that I could see. And everything they were holding on to, you know, sometimes we all say we let go of everything, but we really don't. Sometimes we say that we're okay, but we're really not. Deep inside, these people that I saw held things that they wanted to hold on to for some reason. But what I saw was the Holy Spirit covering them. It went into them, came out their ears, out their mouth. It totally encumbered everything about these people. Things started to come out of them like handcuffs, chains, and disease in the form of green smoke, black smoke coming out. And in the end, it was pure white. Praise God. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, can manifest in our lives and clean us clear, pure as snow, pure as snow. And that just affected me so powerful, that word from God, because when God's presence comes in, it's just and saturates us. Things that are buried there, even diseases and things like that, he saw it coming out as smoke. You know, sometimes things hide in us and we don't know how to get free. But the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I so long for a greater saturation of the presence of the Lord. I pray, God, give us a higher density of your presence, of your Spirit. Hallelujah. And those things that are in there, you know, and we don't even know how to get them out, they'll come out with the presence of the Lord. It's just like, wow, yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Acts 2:1, I'm going to skip Matthew 3:11 next. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The more time we spend in God's presence, the more his fire burns up the impurities within us. Hallelujah. We just need you, God. We need your presence and the hunger for it. Malachi 3:2-3. It says, but who can endure the day of his coming, Jesus, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Hallelujah. God's like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap, and he will purify us. Psalms 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. When gold and silver are purified, they're put in a pot and they're heated up. And the impurities rise to the top, and they skim them off. And they do that over and over again until no impurities come to the top anymore, till it's pure. And you know, sometimes when we are put under heat, the impurities come to the top. And we say, where did that come from? Have any of you ever done that? You know, you get under heat, all of a sudden something comes out like you was like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. You know, but it's when we're under heat, sometimes the impurities come to the top and they just are, and they come to the top to be skimmed off. And God purifies us as he does silver and gold. Hallelujah. With his fire. And I want the fire of God. I want his fire. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, and Amplified, says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from his strength, which is boundless, might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly or supernatural sphere. When the enemy's attacking, which he's always there to attack, that's why we have to keep all the armor on, it's important to follow what James 4:7 says, to resist the, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. I read a prophecy just a few days ago. A guy had a vision, and he went to heaven, and he was in like a storehouse for the armor of God, and there was a whole lot of some things, and some things had been taken out, and he said people aren't checking out and putting on the whole armor. They're leaving things off. They're taking maybe a couple of things in the armor, leaving the other things off, and it leaves them vulnerable. And be sure you put on the whole armor. And we're not going to go into that and study it tonight, but it's important for protection that we wear the whole armor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And in times of battle, it's important to keep an attitude of praise and thankfulness, even in the midst of trials. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So everybody has trials. Everybody goes through things. I don't know anybody that doesn't face trials in this life. But it's important that we rejoice. We glory or rejoice even in the midst of the tribulation. There's another scripture, James 1, 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That's not our first reaction, is it? It's almost funny. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So praise will take us from the midst of the trial to a place of victory. Worshiping God in the midst of the storm pushes us on. There's an example I like to use. I've probably all heard it, but I think of the old sail ships that you know, travel the ocean by their sails. When a storm came, how they adjusted and how they set their sails depended on whether they were pushed forward more rapidly or whether they sank. And how we set our praise in the midst of the trials will depend whether we will go on our way to our destination more quickly or whether we will sink and be lost. So it's important to praise. Set our sails. Set your sails right. Set your sails of praise, and it'll carry you through to victory every time. Hallelujah. Zechariah 2:5. "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." Oh God, we want a wall of fire around us, of the fire of God, and we want your glory in our midst. Amen. Down to verse 10. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I'm coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they'll become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the wall of fire, the glory. And thank you, Jesus, that praise carries us forward into victory over and over and over again. Psalms 97, 1 through 12 says, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about." What does the fire of God do? Burns up our enemies. Hallelujah. I want the fire of God in my life, around me, because he will burn up my enemies. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4, "His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast in idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears." Zion really means praise or worship. "Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Who's the big God? Who's the winner? Our God. Hallelujah. 10, "You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our last scripture tonight is Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. We already read this, but it's just so good. It says, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven." That's the supernatural sphere of darkness. God's going to shake it. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that have been shaken. As of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Oh, our God is a consuming fire. Father, we welcome your fire in our life. We welcome the fire of the Holy Spirit in our life, that it will surround us and be around us, and that it will protect us, that it will destroy our enemies. Father, we ask that your fire, the fire of your Spirit, fall in a more tangible way in our midst, in our everyday lives. Father, we thank you for your cleansing fire. We thank you for your purifying fire. We thank you for your awesome, powerful fire that shakes the nations, that brings the glory of God, that releases the wealth, and that brings peace, that peace may reign in our lives, in this church, in this city, in this county, this state, this nation. Father, we ask for a movement of the fire of God upon us, with us. Father, we just are hungry for you. We're so hungry for a greater concentration of your glory, your Holy Spirit, your fire, that it fill us. And all those things within us that we don't know how to get rid of, or that we're hanging on to for some reason, that you will just so fill us and so penetrate us that they'll just leave. They'll just leave. They'll be burned out. They'll just go away. Father, I thank you for your fire. I thank you for your love. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. Holy kayore neye shele rabanai. Father, we want to be in your glory so that our countenance may shine. Oh, that as we walk in this world, that people will see the glory of the Lord upon us. That they'll walk up to us and say, I want what you have. You have something different. I want that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the tsunami wave of your Spirit flooding through this valley, flooding through this place, that your Spirit will fall upon all flesh. Such a wave of his glory, such a wave of his Spirit.
There's
going to be drug dealers that's been drug dealers for, they've been generational drug dealers. They've been in the business a long time. It's been part of their family. And they're going to turn that fast. They're going one way, they're going to turn and go another way, that fast. There's going to be testimonies of God completely turning people around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's coming a great pouring out and release of the gifts of the Spirit, of healing, of miracles. Anai oashini ande alahai oashi no hayashe. Arms and legs are going to grow out. Cancer is going to disappear immediately. Just mighty, powerful things are coming in this wave of anointing that's coming. God manifest. Oh, we thank you for the ingathering, Lord, of souls. Even those that would be the most unlikely into our understanding, they're going to be turned around instantly and go a different route with the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Father, increase our expectation, increase our faith, increase our hunger. That we wake up in the morning, just wake up saying, okay, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? What awesome things are you going to do today? Father, turn our expectors up, that we expect to see the miraculous hand of God and the love of God poured out. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have a testimony or anything you want to share? She's here. She's waiting to she's waiting to come up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jasmine, you can come on up and give your announcements. Hallelujah.
Hi, guys. I just had a quick announcement about our VBS, our Vacation Bible School. We have over 1,000 of these flyers for all of the kids in our community. So it would be really awesome if, when you guys go home, if you could pick up a nice little stack and just pass them out. If you see kids at Walmart, you know, keep some in your purse, in your bag, in your car, keep them handy, and just pass them out to our community, because I really know that this VBS, I really feel it's going to be a really big blessing, and it's going to be one of the best VBSs that we've had. I really feel like the seeds that are going to be planted in these kids that show up, that they're going to be seeds that are planted on good ground. And the word is going to be implanted on their hearts, and they're going to be blessed, and they're really going to come to know Jesus. So it's really important that we can get these out to our community. So there's a big stack back there, and there's also a stack in the hallway by the front door. All right, thank you.
Amen. Well, we're having prayer for the nation tomorrow here at between 12 and 1. If anyone can join us, that would be awesome. Hallelujah. We're joining in prayer with people all across the United States. And that's powerful when we pray in unity. Hallelujah. With other believers all across the nation. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful